Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Bill Owens, Congressman, I want to ask you something. You guys are privy to information that I think that the public always is not, or sometimes not. Tell us about what you think is going on in Egypt right now.
It appears, primarily from what I'm reading in the media, that they have real chaos going on right now. I think that when the military acted a couple of weeks ago, there was a promise of moving rapidly towards elections. That hasn't happened. We are having calls in Congress for cessation of military aid to Egypt. We have to balance all of those things with the issues in the Middle East, including as they relate to Israel. And it's a very difficult balancing act to determine whether or not we should, in fact, cease aid, whether or not we should put conditions on the aid. One of the other factors, however, that always has to be accounted for is that much of the foreign aid that we give to Egypt results in purchases from our defense industry. So to some extent,
exactly,
cutting off that aid...
Yeah. It hurts us economically.
You're right. It would hurt us economically.
Well, so, Eisenhower, of course, talked about the military-industrial complex. I mean, I don't want to make anybody sick out there again. But the fact of the matter is, you cut off $1.2 billion. That's a nice chunk of change.
It certainly is. And when you add that on to sequestration,
yeah,
that's affecting the military and that industry, it's a significant issue. Should it be the controlling issue? I don't think so. Mm. But it has to be considered so when you take action, you understand what the ramifications are.
Mm. Very interesting. Do you have any defense stuff that would come out of that 1.2 in your district?
I don't know that. I can't answer that question. I have a fair number of small defense contractors in the district. So clearly, some of those likely would feel the ripple effect if, in fact, there was a pullback in aid.
So what should we do?
Well, my feeling at this juncture is we need to watch very carefully. We need to put as much pressure as we can on the Egyptian military to move in the direction of restoring order, but at the same time moving back towards a democracy as soon as possible. You know, we're hearing a lot out of the Middle East, out of Egypt in particular, where some people are saying Morsi was not running a democratic government, that currently what's going on is more democratic than that. I have some trouble with all of those statements. I think that they're largely just spinning the story. This is a serious issue that could cause really the devolution into chaos in the Middle East. And so the president's in a very difficult spot. He's got to balance all of these things because the worst outcome would be for a complete breakdown in the Middle East. You've got Syria that's under tremendous pressure. You have Egypt that's now under tremendous pressure. Could easily bring Israel under tremendous pressure. And as this process unfolds, really could create real chaos over there.
Okay. Now, let's assume that you're right, and I certainly think you are, and it is real chaos. And that real chaos could be expanded to, it's already in Syria, but to other places which have had so-called, you know, democratic revolutions. And you're sitting in Obama's chair. You're a politician. You know, you're closer to it than I am. What would you do?
Well, what I would be doing is watching what happens. I would be seriously considering the withdrawal of aid across the board. I would seriously consider withdrawing our citizens from the area. I would be doing a lot of steps that would cause us, in effect, to be pulling back in the short term till we can figure out exactly what's going on, because it's obviously not clear where this was going. And I think we all believed that our military had a significant impact and relationship with the Egyptian military, and that's turning out to be less clear, I think.
Well, of course, there's the whole Israeli connection, too.
Exactly.
I mean, the Egyptians, as you have stated in the past and know, are the key to how the other Arab countries view Israel. I mean, they're the ones who signed the peace treaty.
Yep.
And the other piece of this that's so interesting is apparently the Egyptian military, as we speak today, are signaling the release of Mubarak. Now that's interesting.
Yeah, and what does that tell you? You know, certainly it says that they are taking a dramatically different tack than anyone would have anticipated. That's not a road that I would have thought they would have walked down.
It is a signal, okay, because remember, Mubarak, of course, comes right from the same military guys who are running the country right now, and in much the same style, in fact, maybe a little bit more repressive. But then you had all of those people, Bill, who were out there in the streets demanding revolution, then demanding that the Muslim Brotherhood be stifled, and now might be in more of a position to accept this non-democratic military rule.
Right. And the other thing that clearly we don't have a handle on is what's the feeling of the Egyptian people? Where do they want to be? And that clearly has to be understood. I certainly don't understand it as I sit here now. But what is it that they're looking for? Maybe what they're looking for is the kind of stability that the military is bringing. At least they thought what they were going to bring. So we need to understand what the Egyptian population, or at least the majority, want. Clearly a lot of fear about the Islamic Brotherhood, that they would turn out to be a very radical group that would do tremendous harm both in Egypt and in the Middle East generally.
Thank you for that, Bill. I want to move to agriculture in the district. You'd been keeping us informed. The farm bill went nowhere. It was supposed to. We thought that it was going to help. What are farmers talking about these days politically?
Well, my sense is that they're very frustrated, that they understand that, unfortunately, the Republican leadership in the House has really played games with the farm bill for a second year in a row. And has put everyone in a very difficult position. As you know, when they split the farm bill a couple of weeks ago, virtually every farm group in the United States opposed that.
And split it means?
Meaning taking the SNAP provision out and
food stamps.
Taking the food stamp provisions out of the bill. And that's because people are afraid of the long term.
Bill, what do you mean long term?
Well, the next farm bill. So let's say you get this farm bill through
by
some miracle.
Yeah.
You may have an almost impossible task of ever passing another farm bill
because
you will not have the unified interests of urban and suburban members of Congress with rural members.
But I've never understood why the SNAP or food stamps doesn't represent to the entire farming community, including the agribusiness people, you know, out west and all, a way to make sure that people are paying for their agricultural products.
Well, you would certainly think that would be part of the logic. And I believe that the farmers understand that this is one of the areas that provides a source of revenue ultimately to them. But you have a significant number of members of the far right in Congress who are wholly opposed to food stamps. They're talking about now trying to cut $40 billion out.
Well.
And when I look at my district, I know that I have lots of people on food stamps who are children, who are senior citizens, and who are veterans. This is an important part of the sustenance that many people rely on. Now, can we clean it up? Can we save some money by being more efficient? Of course we can. And those are the things we need to be clearly focused on. You know, I was prepared to support something in the range of $8 to $10 billion in cuts. The Senate was at about $4.5 billion because I think there are areas where this needs to be cleaned up. That would be a significant budgetary contribution by that program to the reduction of government spending. When you are taking $30 and $40 billion out, you're decimating the program, and you're going to have a tremendous adverse impact on many people who, through absolutely no fault of their own, are relying on food stamps to survive.
Bill Owens, thank you for that. When we come back, I want to talk to you about how you're spending your summer vacation, as they say on the Regents exams, and also have you talk to us a little bit about how you gear up for political opposition.
Okay, Alan, happy to do that.